Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, the dirtiest hotel in America is about to be sold. The country's newest low-fare airline is charging $1 for a cup of coffee. And Airbnb suggests you fix dinner for those overnight guests.
Ever wish that you could just say, ah, the heck with it all, and live in hotels 1 month at a time in exotic destinations around the world? Well, our friend Ben Schlopik is doing just that, and he joins us at 3:15 to share his experience.
The president went to the Baseball Hall of Fame to promote tourism. At 3:35, we introduce you to the man who can arrange your trip to the Hall of Fame, the All-Star Game, or the Super Bowl.
Last week, we told you the things that you should never say to your flight attendant. Well, today, we tell you the things that you should say. That's coming up at 3:45.
All that, plus Gwen Duncan with the deal of the week, today with Mark and Tom on The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man, king of the road.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Well, can you believe it? Another edition of the Travel Guys radio show is on the air. Thank you so much for tuning in. Brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacation. He's Mark Hoffman. I'm Tom Romano. Thanks for joining us. Well, here we are. It's another fabulous Sunday and a little on the toasty side.
It just a tad. Is it going to be this hot all summer?
I expect that it just might be. What do you do to cool off, Mark?
What do I do to cool? I stay inside mostly. I've never been much of a water guy. I didn't learn to swim till I was like 13 years old, so I've never been a big water person. I mean, I can lay by the pool. It's not that I don't enjoy a little swim once in a while, but good old air conditioning. I'm not sure I could have survived. It's a good thing I wasn't born 100 years ago, because I'm not sure I would have made it.
Yeah, I feel for those that either have air conditioners that are dysfunctional, either in their cars or their homes. This is a tough go.
I was driving back from Lake Tahoe this week from Reno, where I was at the convention that I was at last weekend, and they're doing some construction work on. Of course, it's a great time to do construction work in the mountains because it's after the snow is over and before summer vacation sort of officially starts and the crush of people come. So it's a window for them to do. But I saw these folks out working in the sun, and the ones who are working are okay, but the people who are just standing there, you know, holding the stop or slow sign, just seems to me, for 8 hours a day, seems to me like you couldn't pay me that much money to stand in the hot weather and just stand there with that sign all day long.
Well, somebody's got to do it, and we thank them for doing it and keeping us safe. Well, the Travel Guys got a lot of stuff going on. Be sure to go to travelguysradio.com. Follow along on the program there as we post links to our interviews, and we have several for us today. Let's do what we always do at the beginning of the show. Let's find out what's in the travel news. Mark, what do you got for us today?
Well, Tom, as I mentioned, leading off the travel news today, the dirtiest hotel in America is going to be sold for $180 million. The Hotel Carter in Times Square, New York. The bidding war is almost over, and indeed, it's expected to fetch that exorbitant figure. It's the dirtiest and best located hotel in New York City, said the man who was handling the sale, Lawrence Wolf. It was undermanaged and neglected. The 600-room Hotel Carter, just off of Times Square on West 43rd Street, is a three-time winner of TripAdvisor's Dirtiest Hotel in America survey.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I know this hotel well. I've never been in it other than the lobby, but no. Folks, I'm sure there are people listening to this program, Tom, who have horror stories from the Hotel Carter. Recent guests said the problems are far from fixed. The location is great, but there's no hot water in the shower, said one guest exiting the hotel, talking to CNBC on Tuesday afternoon. Her room rate, just over $200 for the night.
I heard that even bed bugs won't stay there.
Some recent reviews on TripAdvisor include the comments, absolutely vile, unsafe and nasty, falling down. And yet it has its fans, an amazing location with an exceptionally affordable price tag. It originally opened in 1930 as the Hotel Dixie. The Carter recently has been tied up as the estate of the former owner is settled. In recent years, it's been in the news for code violations as well as for a homicide.
And again, tell me how much it sold for?
$180 million.
Well, there you go.
And they say the renovation will cost another $100 to $125 million. So whoever buys it either has $300 million in their pockets or at least access to that much money, because otherwise they wouldn't be going into the hotel business. We're about to get a new airline in the country. People Express, an old airline name. People Express was bought by Continental years ago, is resurfacing out of Newport News, Virginia. Their tickets are going on sale next week. Discounted pricing, just like Frontier and Spirit Airlines, two carriers that don't serve Sacramento currently. People Express will be located on the East Coast to start with. Probably the most notable thing, Tom, besides paying for carry-on bags and checked bags and put bags you put up above and everything, you're going to pay a dollar for a cup of coffee on board even.
Wow.
So good luck to People Express. What we can all use more competition in the airline business, anything that we keep a lid on airfares. Airbnb, Tom, you remember we've been talking about Airbnb for a couple of months?
Sure.
Airbnb wants you to eat dinner with strangers. The San Francisco startup that has grown into a $10 billion business by letting strangers share their homes for a fee now wants to do the same for the dinner table. Airbnb is encouraging hosts to throw dinners for strangers as part of a new pilot program in its home city. The company would take a cut of the proceeds, similar to how it makes money from its core business of letting people list spare homes or bedrooms on its website.
Well, remember the folks that we talked to from over in the Bay Area that had an Airbnb home that they rented out, and they indicated that they actually enjoyed cooking a meal for their guests that stayed. So that doesn't really sound, you know, like cooking for strangers, per se.
Well, except that how does it work that you're going to, if you're going to decide on the pricing, and then, of course, some percentage of that is going to go to Airbnb, and pretty soon the restaurants are probably going to come back and say, well, wait a minute, are you charging sales tax on that?
Right.
And was your kitchen inspected? Because this is what's happening now, is that in addition to the hotel taxes, people are coming to hotels, cab drivers are coming back to the people who are picking up people with their cars and saying, wait a minute, do these people have insurance? Has anybody done any background checks? Do we, you know, I mean, so this is the whole sharing economy is something that's very new to all of us. And it's interesting. It's exciting. But I think it comes with a few inherent risks. So we'll see how the Airbnb dinner program comes.
Well, so if you have strangers come and stay with you and eat with you, no big deal. But the moment that you start charging them for staying and eating with you, now you've become a business, and you're going to be scrutinized and licensed and so forth.
And do you put like a sign on the cabinet that says, you know, so if your Airbnb guests get up in the middle of the night and they want the munchies, why, you know, the potato chips are 75 cents. It seems like that Airbnb is not taking them very long to follow in the steps of the airlines. Hey, listen, here's a fun story, Tom, real quickly. A couple of violinists got kicked off of a U.S. Airways flight in Charlotte. They were trying to go to a crafts and music fair in Arkansas, flying on a regional jet. There wasn't enough room, apparently, in the overhead for their violins. Right. They wouldn't let the violins be checked. We all know about how airlines treat musical instruments. And so they stood on the tarmac and gave a little impromptu concert while the airline was trying to figure out what to do with them. They didn't take that plane. They were later put on a later flight where they could fly with their musical instruments. But I thought it was a hoot. If you go to travelguysradio.com, you can click on the link to their little impromptu concert, and they'll explain to you what's happening to them on the tarmac in Charlotte, North Carolina last week. And finally, a group of United pilots for the second time in a month have told CEO Jeff Smizik to lead or get out of the way. The quote, the leadership team at United Airlines is failing at our great company, said the leaders of the Washington chapter of the United Airline Pilots Association. The chapter says it has developed a strategic plan to force our leadership team to lead the letter said. Details of the plans have not been disclosed. The countdown for Mr. Smyzik's departure from United Airlines is only a matter of a couple of months. And that's your travel news for today.
Well, have you ever wished that you could just say the heck with it all and live in hotels 1 month at a time, maybe in exotic destinations around the world?
Even, Tom, for somebody like me who's in the travel business, that sounds like almost a dream that's too impossible to come true. But indeed, our friend Ben Schlappig, that's exactly what he's doing. He doesn't have a home anymore. He's just moving around the world. And Ben joins us to tell us about this most interesting lifestyle next on The Travel Guys.
We are the Travel Guys on KFBK. I'm Tom Romano with Mark Hoffman. And before the break, I alluded to the fact that what would it be like to just give it all up, you know, and travel the world living in hotels and exotic locations and just not even know where you're going to go from week to week. Well, we have somebody on the line that kind of is doing that. Mark, introduce our wonderful guest.
Well, and indeed, when I was up at the Freddie Awards in Seattle about a month and a half ago, I ran into our friend Ben Schlappig. In fact, Ben was kind of my personal concierge while I was up there in Seattle helping me get settled there at the Freddie Awards and stuff. So I was talking to Ben, and we were talking. Ben, I said, so where are you going and what are you doing? And Ben said, well, you know, I'm just going to live in a different city for a month at a time. I'm homeless. And indeed, further conversation revealed that Ben didn't have a place to live. Joining us on the Travel Guys now is Mr. Homeless, Ben Schlappig, who...
Thanks for having me, Mark and Tom.
Boy, you guys have fallen. Ben, how the mighty have fallen.
It sure feels that way sometimes.
I guess we should tell people that you're homeless by choice.
By choice, exactly. No, it has been a fun experiment. Before, when I still had an apartment, I was traveling about 2 to 3 weeks per month. And at that point, it just seemed to make more sense to just move into hotels full time. That way, I wouldn't be paying rent. I wouldn't have a car payment. I wouldn't be paying for car insurance. So for that time I am at home, I might as well make my home somewhere else in the world.
But at the same time, Ben, you do have work. This is the interesting part, is you are still able to perform a resemblance of a job because of the technology that now exists. A lot of people would say, well, yeah, that would be great, but I still have to show up at work, which means that in most cases I would need to be in the city of employment. Explain to folks what it is that you do.
I mean, technology is amazing. It has enabled me to do everything that I do. So I write a travel blog, and I also have a travel consulting company, and I'm able to really do that from anywhere in the world with an internet connection. So that really is great because I don't have anywhere I'm tied down to, and I can work any hour of the day, whether it's an Asian time zone or U.S. time zone. So that really is amazing flexibility to have.
So, Ben, when we were in Seattle a month and a half ago, you were about to take off. So where have you been and where are you going?
Well, I just... right after we met, I was going to Sicily, so I spent about 2 weeks there. You can't beat Italy in May. It's beautiful. And then from there, I went to – I had to think about it for a second because I'm kind of getting mixed up with all the places.
Must be horrible. The man is such a globetrotter that he can't remember which country he just came from and which country he's going to. Consult the passport there, Ben.
That's what you call time lag, eh?
That's what I'm doing. I'm just flipping through the passport to see where the most recent stamps were. So then I was just in Abu Dhabi. So I spent about a week there, and that was scorching heat. It was about 115 degrees for most of the time. So it was a bit warmer than I'm used to.
Now, Ben, at the Freddy's, I heard you mention to someone, or maybe as part of an introduction, maybe it was an answer to a question, or somebody was just referring to you and your lifestyle. You've been traveling since you were very young. Did I hear that you took your first flight by yourself, or you first got into the mileage thing when you were like 13, 14 years old?
Yeah, actually, I started traveling alone when I was 14. So my parents have always kind of encouraged me to do my own thing if I wanted to. So back when I was 14, I started flying alone, basically to accrue miles. I didn't really go too many destinations alone at the time, but my parents' reasoning was partly that there's no safer place to be than past security. So if I'm flying by myself there, that's pretty safe. And then I really started traveling alone internationally when I was 17, 18.
So dad just took you down to the airport on Saturday and said, goodbye, son. See you tomorrow.
our weekend ritual was actually he would drive me to the airport at 5 a.m. on Saturday mornings, and then he'd pick me up Sunday evenings after I had flown around the country to earn miles.
Amazing.
So in between that, I would fly something like Tampa to Washington to Los Angeles to San Francisco to Seattle and then back the same way.
Now, let me ask you, Ben, flying, you're a passenger. Have you ever, did you along the way ever say, you know, I would like to fly this plane. I would like to be a pilot. And then, of course, we do have a pilot that joins us on the program quite frequently, Henry. And Henry did get into flying because for that very reason, so that he could travel and travel cheaply in the jump seat of a lot of airlines. So has that ever crossed your mind?
Yeah, you know, Tom, that was actually my original aspiration. When I was a kid, I always wanted to be a pilot, and that had been my goal at the time. And then when I started kind of training to be a pilot, when I started working on my pilot's license when I was 16, that's kind of when the economy started getting bad. And, you know, really the problem with being a commercial pilot nowadays is that all that really matters is your seniority number. So if you get laid off or if your, you know, airline goes bankrupt, you're in trouble. And that just, you know, was a bit too much uncertainty for me. So I figured I would do something else ultimately, even though I've always been passionate about airplanes.
Wow. Okay. Not to say that what you do now doesn't have a certain amount of uncertainty when you're living in who knows where.
Yeah, Ben, speaking of, before we started the interview, I said, so where are you going next? And you said, well, you know, I don't really have plans past tomorrow. Ben, if you're going to live in different places 1 month at a time, wouldn't it seem like you would kind of sort of plan ahead, or are you just kind of going wherever the world takes you?
Yeah. So this is kind of the tough part, is that when I originally started this, my plan was to have this master plan of you know, booking hotels weeks at a time and going over anywhere else next year. And kind of as I execute that, I realized it's a lot tougher to do that in practice than I expected. So I've kind of been winging it a little bit more than I was expecting to. You know, I'm in L.A. right now, and I'm checking out of my hotel tomorrow, and I have a flight booked to Jakarta. But beyond that, I don't know what I'm going to do. So I'm kind of just, you know, in a way, it's almost just as rewarding just to kind of go place to place, and kind of the uncertainty and the fun of that is kind of cool, I think.
You know, Ben, I think we should let listeners know that not only do you you write a blog and so forth, but you help people out. Tell our listeners how it is that you help the common traveler.
Well, kind of my specialty has always been with miles and points and redeeming them, because that's also kind of how I fund my own travel. So, for example, internationally, I usually fly first class, and that's always using miles. So kind of what I've done over the years, what I've started doing, is offering a service whereby I help people redeem their miles. Because for most people, it's very frustrating to try to kind of figure out how their mileage programs work and how to figure out what award availability is like. That can be really tough. So that's kind of what I help with, and I have several colleagues that do that as well. So we try to help people maximize their miles.
And in turn, you extract a little bit of a fee. So those folks pay you a little bit for your expertise, and that's what allows you to be able to set up your office in any airport, any hotel, any boarding gate in the country or on the planet,
exactly,
I guess.
Yeah. Ultimately, that's what gives me so much flexibility. So I'm incredibly fortunate to be able to do what I love and do it from anywhere.
Ben, when we were up in Seattle and we were talking last month with all of the frequent Traveler University people, it seems as though it's getting a lot tougher to game the system. Is that true? I mean, are the airlines and the hotels and stuff, they're basically closing up the loopholes, or are they just closing the old ones and the new ones are opening up?
Really, it's a constant seesaw battle. You know, we kind of figure out the best values and kind of the loopholes. Then the airlines catch on to those. The same with the hotels. They shut those down. We find new ones. They shut those down. So really, it is a constant back and forth. There's no doubt as the economy is recovering, or as it has largely recovered, you know, there's a higher cost to the airlines and hotels for giving away those free airline seats and free hotel room, because in most cases, when the economy is good, they can sell those seats and those hotel rooms. So there's no doubt that they are raising costs across the board, and that certainly affects us if we're redeeming miles and points. But there will always be new kind of loopholes and maximizing tools out there.
Ben Schlappig, our guest today. Ben has a blog called 1 Mile at a Time. There's a link to it on TravelGuysRadio.com, or you can just go to your go to your browser and enter 1mileatatime.com, and you will see some of Ben's writings and be able to follow him around the planet, my friend. We will keep track of you and follow you as you change locations a month at a time on a journey that probably a lot of folks listening to the radio are thinking, wow, I wish I could do that.
Thank you, Mark and Tom. I appreciate it.
You're tuned to the Travel Guys, and coming up in about 6 minutes,
we'll take you to the Baseball Hall of Fame, or, well, maybe you want to go to the Baseball Hall of Fame. We'll tell you how you can get there. The president's been there. Right after the news, we'll talk to an expert in the world of sports travel right here on News Radio KFBK.
You found the Travel Guys here on KFBK. Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations there. I'm Tom Romano. And Mark, you know, it's that time. It's time for the deal of the week.
It is. And we are joined by Gwen Duncan from Cordially Yours Travel. And Gwen is a travel agent who has all kinds of connections and outlets and ways to find you good deals, no matter whether you're going on a vacation or a business trip, or you're just taking the family someplace special for a couple of days. And Gwen has been coming on the radio with us now for a couple of months and telling us about a deal of the week, all kinds of different things. And I thought it would be fun today, Tom, if we walked folks through a little bit of how to find deal of the week. Now, there's two ways that they can find it. And Gwen is on the line with us. Hi, Gwen.
Hi. Hello.
Hi there. The first way you can find the deal of the week is you can go to travelguysradio.com. And right there in the middle of the homepage, starting this week, there is a place where you can click on Deal of the Week, and it will take you right to Gwen's website, and you can go from there. Or the other way that you can do it is to go to CY Travel.
It's Go CY Travel.
GoCYTravel.com.
Yes.
And then, Gwen, they will get to your website, which is ultimately where they will get whether they go to Travel Guys or not first. And when they get there, then they're going to find a spot where they can click on. They'll see the lovely picture of the Travel Guys there. Two incredibly handsome gentlemen right in the middle of the page. And Gwen has set it up so that you can see podcasts, or you can click for the deal of the week. Gwen, if they go to your website and they click on this deal of the week, what's going to happen?
It will open up to a page, and on that page is a the most current deal of the week will be posted. And above that will be a text box that will allow people to click onto my email and send me if they have a special destination they're interested in, and I can look for deals for that special destination.
So if they're looking for a deal of the week, specifically to go to Disneyland or to go to Cabo San Lucas or to go to New York City, if they go to your website and they indicate there that this is the kind of deal that they're looking for, then you'll watch for those types of deals for them and only notify them if you find a deal for that destination.
That's right.
Wow, Tom, that sounds like about the best deal that you could get.
I'll tell you, this is so easy to do, technical, but easy at the same time.
It's gocytravel.com or go to Travel Guys Radio. And remember, when you go there onto Gwen's website, you can fill out that little form and just tell her this is not going to obligate you to anything. It'll just make sure that if Gwen finds a deal of the week that would be pertinent to your destination, then she's going to let you know about it, and then you can kind of take it from there. Is that right, Gwen?
That's absolutely right. That's absolutely right. And there are some posted hot deals on the front of my home site. They can explore that if they want.
Outstanding. Outstanding. I think it's an excellent way to bring the deal of the week to folks from the Travel Guys. I will remind folks, I mentioned a couple weeks ago that there were some great airfares for Hawaii. This past week, Southwest had their big sale. But once again, Gwen, did you notice they left the summer out completely?
Yes, they did. In fact, I'm working with somebody, $1,400 to go to Kauai.
Folks who waited and thought that maybe the airfares were going to come down this summer and that would be the way to go, maybe they could snare something at the last minute, they're going to have to get incredibly lucky, because there's not going to be a whole lot left at the last minute. If you are thinking of going someplace in July or the first 3 weeks in August and you haven't bought your ticket yet, you seriously need to think about it, because it's not likely to get any better. Would that be a good observation?
Yeah, that's a good observation. If you sit in London or Frankfurt, Germany, you can get that under $1,000. It's cheaper to fly there than it is to go to Hawaii.
Gwen Duncan with us on our Deal of the Week. You can go to TravelGuysRadio.com, click there on the Deal of the Week box, and all whole world will open up for you. You can have your own personal travel agent. Gwen will be out there looking for you to find your deal of the week. Thank you, Gwen, for joining us on the Travel Guys. We'll talk to you in a couple
of weeks.
Thank you
both.
We are the Travel Guys on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano, along with Mark Hoffman. And the word sports is in the name of your company, Mark, which kind of leads us to an intro for our special guest today.
It does, Thomas. Sports Leisure Vacations, my own company, takes people to a variety of sporting events, mostly baseball games, an occasional Kentucky Derby, maybe a figure skating championship or two. But lots of times folks will call my office or ask me, gee, you know, I'd like to go to the Super Bowl, or I'd like to go spend a weekend with the Giants somewhere off in a faraway city, or follow the A's on the road, or go to the U.S. Open, something of that nature. And immediately I think of my friend Jay Smith from Sports Tours and Travel. Jay has been in the same type of business that Sports Leisure Vacations is in, but Jay is truly dedicated to the sports fans of America and taking them to just about any game that they want to go to. And Jay joins us here on the line now. Good afternoon, my friend.
Good afternoon, Tom and Mark. Thanks for having me.
Jay, we got NBA Finals going on. Can you turn it around quickly? Give me to one of those games.
You know, interesting enough, we actually turn things around pretty quickly in the electronic world we're in. If we have to get people somewhere tomorrow, it happens with the playoffs all the time. You know, all of a sudden the one round is done on a Sunday or Tuesday, and the next round starts a day or two later, and we've got to hop pretty quickly.
And Jay, that must make it for pretty interesting times around your place every year, because like you mentioned, the Super Bowl, everybody knows where that's going to be played. So it's easy to get goosed on a hotel raid, et cetera, et cetera. There's packages and there's lots of places you can find that. But with baseball and with the rounds of the playoffs, things of that sort, you never really know where that's going to pop up from week to week. How does one hold hotel rooms and get tickets? And obviously it must be an incredible science, but give us a little bit of an insight into that.
It is a science, and it does give you some gray hairs, and I still do have some hair on my head, but it's definitely getting less and less. There is that last-minute impact is indeed rather stressful, even with the Super Bowl, because even though there's 2 weeks for the Super Bowl, you do know where it is, you don't know who's playing, and there's two kinds of people that go to the Super Bowl, Mark. There's the general football fan who might book 6 months or a year out because they know they're going to the next city. However, on the day that their team gets in, that following Monday morning, it gets absolutely crazy here because you've got everybody on the planet who wants to now go follow their team to the Super Bowl. So there's still, thankfully, there's 2 weeks to be able to turn, or 10 days to be able to turn that around. The playoffs, World Series, the hockey playoffs that we just, just started with the Rangers and the Kings, those are all quick. Our formula, for the most part, and this is the way it works, it's kind of a hidden secret, I'm not sure if I actually even want to share it with you, but I will, is we'll go for World Series as an example, and we'll hold space in the first and second round in eight cities. But we let each hotel property that we deal with, and most of them we already use for other programs, that if your team loses, then we're not coming. So you can just cancel out our contract and move on.
Has the common guy been priced out of all of these big games now? I mean, is it possible for the guy on the street to get a reasonably priced hotel room and a ticket to a Super Bowl game for less than $4,000 or $5,000?
No. No. Most of the hotels want three, four, five night minimums. If they know that they can, it's kind of like, you know, they've got you. And if you want it, it's kind of like flying right now. You know, airfares are high. And if you want to fly somewhere, you've got to take what you can get.
Jay, let's shift gears here just for a minute. This is a big year for the Baseball Hall of Fame. The president went there, first president ever to visit the Baseball Hall of Fame, a couple of weeks ago to give a speech about tourism. The induction this year includes a lot of big name players. Can folks still attend the induction? Are there still packages available to go to Cooperstown this summer and be there when those guys are inducted into the Hall of Fame?
Sure. We have a couple of different options, Mark. Thanks for asking. We've got a weekend package, which is our shortest. It's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday package. It does start and base itself out of Albany, New York, which is about the closest place you can fly into. It's got a Friday night reception. Saturday is a great day. We head on into Cooperstown. We get there at about 9:30 in the morning. The key to our success and our partnership with the hall is downtown Cooperstown is blocked off. The roads are closed. You can't get in on Saturday. Saturday and Sunday. You can't park. If you come in on your own with a rental car, you got to park outside the city quite a ways and wait for a shuttle trolley system to come in, and you could be literally waiting online for an hour or 2 hours. So we maximize that weekend where our motor coaches transfer you in and can drop you right off at the base of the Hall of Fame, Cooper Park, right next door. You spend the entire day in town visiting the hall, catching the afternoon activities. There's a number of other awards, the Frick Award, the Spink Award, which are the writers in the afternoon. And then at 6 o'clock at night on Saturday, one of the best hidden secrets on the planet, they've got a parade right through Main Street, which with all of the Hall of Famers, not the new ones, guys, coming in, but the all of the past Hall of Famers, one at a time, by year, are on back of a brand-new pickup truck with their names on them, and they come through town with literally thousands of people screaming, yelling. If you're a baseball fan, you're going to see your hero. Wow. And many of your heroes in childhood you know, guys that you watched on TV coming
now
on through.
Now, the Jay, this Cooperstown is not a big city, and you're talking about having to park outside and stuff like that. And I've been to Cooperstown many times. It really is a very quaint little town, accent on little. It sounds to me like to go to the induction, really, the smart man buys a package and has transportation so he doesn't have to hassle with all of that. Jay's company is the official tour company for the Baseball Hall of Fame. So once again, you got to be a little bit careful out there because not all of the advantages that you offer folks in your package are going to be available from other packages, similar packages, because of your connection with the Hall of Fame.
Jay, if I wanted to go to the All-Star Game in Minneapolis, is that something that you could do also? Or perhaps a road trip with my favorite ball club, no matter who that might be? Or and I could just simply call you and you could arrange to get me tickets to the game and hotel if that's something I needed?
Sure. I mean, we do both. We have our prepackaged programs, which are all just one phone call and you say, this is the program I want. I want the All-Star program, and it's, you know, three nights or four nights you pick with a downtown hotel, tickets, transfers, and everything is all inclusive. Or you can customize your own program where you let us know the type of hotel, the type of ticket. You know, we get people sometimes might call us, Mark, and say, I want to do the Blackhawks on a, you know, Friday night, the Bears on Sunday, and on the middle night, you know, the Bulls are in town. What kind of package do you have? Well, we can't offer every a prepackaged program for every single game and event, so we actually customize it then to the likings of our traveler.
Sports and Tours and Travel is the name of the company. Jay Smith is our guest here on the Travel Guys today, and as always, you can go to travelguysradio.com and you can get a link to Sports Tours and Travel, and you can go right to their website, and off you will go on the sports adventure of a lifetime. Jay, thank you for joining us on the Travel Guys today.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Clearly, if you're going to travel to any sports venue, especially the big ones, and you want to go and do it the right way, obviously Jay's the man.
You got to be really careful, too, when you're buying tickets to sporting events or entertainment events. You know, you're going to the Tonys or the Emmys or something like that. There are a lot of counterfeit tickets floating around, and if you buy a ticket from somebody on the street or even someone online, you get to the door and they say your ticket's no good, why then that's going to be a pretty serious problem. So when you're looking for an event ticket, you've got to buy it from someone reputable who's going to be in business the day after the event, so that in case you have any issues, you'll have someone to go back to.
That's at Sports Travel and Tours. That's what we do.
Thanks, Jay.
Well, all right. Last week, we told you the things that you should never say to a flight attendant. Well, in about 3.5 minutes, we're going to tell you the things that you should say to a flight attendant. That's coming up next here on the Travel Guys.
On the road again.
Welcome, everyone. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK every Sunday at 3 o'clock. I'm Tom Romano. To my left, Mark Hoffman, the program brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Now, before we jump into the things that you should say to your flight attendants, it's probably going to turn out to, well, first of all, make you feel good, but could get you rewards along the way.
Absolutely.
Let's go to Mark. And, Mark, you got us a travel winner for today.
Well, I do. I've got Larry Tucker, is a sports leisure traveler. And Larry, if you're listening to the program today, your $50 travel card that you have just won will go to $100 if you call the Sports Leisure Vacations office Monday or Tuesday and tell us that you heard your name on the radio. Larry Tucker, you are the Travel Guys Sports Leisure Vacations lucky traveler winner for today. Thomas, you know, last week we talked about the 10 things that you shouldn't say to flight attendants. Maybe there were 11, when you got on an airplane. Like, can you watch my kids? You know, asking the flight attendant to watch your kids, or asking for hitting that button up above and summoning the flight attendant and sending her off, him or her off on a mission to get you something, or calling the flight attendant a stewardess. Oh my, what a faux pas that would be. Asking what kind of drinks do you have when the flight attendant had just probably minutes before pointed out to you that there was a card in the seat back pocket that listed all of that. Asking a flight attendant to help you lift your bag up into the overhead is a no-no. Making comments about how upset you are and how you're going to blow up the airplane or something else horrible if you don't get what you want on the airplane. Commenting about how drinks are too expensive, how you miss the good old days of the hot flight attendants, telling the flight attendant, wait a minute, I'll turn my phone off in just one more minute. And finally, the coup de grace of that list was, can you throw away this bag of vomit for me? Which
you said it again, didn't you?
Never heard on an airplane, but perhaps is something that flight attendants are faced with from time to time.
So I've got to stop saying, hey, stewardess.
That would be the very worst thing that you could say would be, hey, stewardess. That probably are the two worst words, because that's going to get you a dirty look, probably not only from the flight attendant, but probably from some other people on board. So today we have a list, how to make your flight attendant like you. And so we start out with, if the flight attendant greets you when you're boarding the jetway and they say hello to you, then say hello back.
Hello.
Don't just ignore them. A simple good morning or good evening is enough. How would you like to greet 20 people in a row and be greeted by silence? And that's what usually happens.
Now, what do
so
you
say
do?
Hello.
What about you, Mark?
If I frequently say hello to the flight attendant when I'm getting on board. If they're looking at me, I say hello. I want to establish that, hey, I'm a nice guy. I might need something in a minute, and I'm a good person. So no, you start building those chits with the flight attendants as soon as you can. Listen, the second one on the list, listen to the safety demo. You know, it's one thing to just keep doodling away on your iPad or whatever, but it's really worse if you're conversing with somebody. So then other people can't hear the safety demonstration, and the flight attendant's looking at you like, you know, it's okay if you want to kill yourself when the plane goes down, but maybe the other person would like to know how to get off. The next one on the list is take your headphones off. You see the flight attendant coming. They're about to ask you if you'd like something to drink. So take the headphones off so they don't have to repeat it three times. How would you like it if they were wearing headphones when you were talking to them? And I confess, this is something that I am guilty of on more than one occasion on the airplane, is having those headphones on and having to, what? Oh yeah, that's right. I've got the headphones on. Be specific when ordering. When you ask for coffee or tea, specify whether you want it black or with cream and sugar or whatever without having to be asked. And not only that, you don't want them bringing the little tray back and now you're saying, oh, yes, and could I get some sugar with that too? Aggravation sets in at
that
point.
I want Sanka with two cubes.
Same for cold drinks. I'd like a Diet Coke, no ice, please, or water with ice and a slice of lemon, please. Tell them exactly what it is that you want. And speaking of the please thing, say please and thank you. It really is. A lot of this is about common courtesy, and you're in a closed space, and this person has your life in their hands for the next several hours. As the aluminum tube hurtles through the sky at hundreds of miles an hour, you might just want to have a friend there. Another thing, I picked up on this a ways back when a flight attendant asked me for it. If you've got a magazine, instead of just an old magazine you finished, instead of just throwing it into the garbage, offer it to the flight attendant first before you throw it into the trash. Because particularly if it's a travel related magazine, I find they really enjoy those types of things, but they're sitting on the plane with nothing to do also. So offer the magazine to them before you throw it away.
Just don't offer them a disgusting magazine that you wouldn't even want the person next to you to see that you were reading, okay?
You're the only person who would have thought of that. Another thing, bring little treats. It's okay to bring small gifts, little things that are safety sealed, would be fine. An example might be, you know, a a little box of Scottish shortbread or Hawaiian cookies or factory sealed chocolates or something like that. Make sure it's something that is sealed, because otherwise the flight attendant is going to look at you askance if it's not mm-hmm. something that's safe to be able to take.
A famous cookie.
There you go. They're always a big hit. And you may even, you know, if the first class seat ends up empty, you never know. They might come and get you. Pens. This is a great one. People are always asking flight attendants for pens, whether to complete immigration forms or just to do the crossword puzzle. So if you bring a few extra cheap pens and bundle them up and just hand them to a flight attendant or something like that, you will be a hero. I never thought of that.
Me neither.
What a great idea. Wheels in.
You know what I thought that meant when I first saw that? I thought that meant don't put your feet out in the aisle.
That's true. A good piece of wisdom. Wheels in, putting, it was referring to, of course, putting your carry-on bag with wheels or handles facing in before commandeering twice as much space and putting it sideways. So, because when you do that, the flight attendant inevitably is going to either have to sit there and look at you like you're a total moron or come down the aisle and try to help you fix it, so that, because literally you're going to be robbing somebody else of the opportunity to put their overhead bag up. Really and truly, if that bag does not go wheels in or handle in first and go that way, then you shouldn't have brought it on the airplane. A couple more quickly here. Stay out of the aisles.
There it is.
Exactly what you're talking about. When the carts are coming down the aisle, you know, when the carts are in the aisle, you need to stay in your seat, because if you get up and you try to work your way back, the flight attendant has two choices: let you stand there or move the cart 10 or 20 or 30 rows to allow you to get past.
So I always find that when the cart is in the aisle, I have the worst urge to have to go to the restroom. It's like magic.
Flight attendants, I'm sure, cannot wait to have you on their flight. And finally, the last one on this list of things to how to make your flight attendant like you: tell the airline. If a flight attendant offers you exceptionally good service, most airlines have a way for you to recognize them. Note an employee number and the flight number, and take a minute to call the airline and say, look, you know, this is our, go on the website and leave a note and say, here's somebody who really did a good job. And that's something that, you know, that kind of good karma will come back to you somewhere down the road.
And there you go, the things that you should say to your flight attendants. Got some bad news, Mark.
What's that?
We are out of time.
Oh!
Another Travel Guys radio show is about to come to an end. Thanks for joining us today, folks.
We'll talk to you next week at 3 o'clock. And there will be no big races that day. No reason for you to miss the Travel Guys. Speaking of races, the winner of the Triple Crown, was there a Triple Crown? The news is coming up next on News Radio KFBK.